finally makes a move. He's given up on Hootson, giving him a lead, and now he's tacked across to join the main group. They've only got a furlong and a half to go. Soldiers Call now leads. Blue Point on the far side, being followed then by Mabs Cross. Now Batash is unleashed towards the near side by Jim Crowley. Inside the final furlong they go. Batash on the near side. On the far side is Blue Point. A repeat of last year. Blue Point once again has got the measure of Batash. And Blue Point becomes only the 12th horse in history to win the King's Fan Stakes twice in his career. It was Blue Point...
21-7 on a Wednesday morning. A Blue Point for Godolphin again, just getting the job done. The King's Stand 12th horse in history, as you heard. To win it twice to kick off Royal Ascot, the King Stand Stakes. A drama too in the Women's World Cup. The goalkeeper for Jamaica has made an absolute howler. Went to pass the ball out from the back and missed it. Missed it, I tell you, Sherelle.
And then what happened?
And then our girl Sam Kerr came in, just swept in like she's coming off a Formula One car. She did. She was that fast. Boom. And then tapped into the back of the net. She's got four, which is very important because Brazil 1-0 up over Italy, which is not good for our girls. But that goal might be the difference for us.
Yep, so we're aiming for that top two position.
Spot.
Yep.
Currently, we were third before that goal by Sam. We're back up to second now. So drama aplenty in the Women's World Cup and drama overnight at Royal Ascot as well. Jason Richardson, my understanding is, has been selfing himself silly because they love him over there, the English people, and he joins us on the Breakfast Club. Hello, Richo.
Oh, massive news over here.
I've heard
Seriously
that.
Massive news.
I have heard that.
Let's go back to the Women's World Cup because I can't watch it here because England aren't involved. So
we're 4-1 up, 5 minutes to go, Richo, in our last pool match against Jamaica.
Okay, well, I'll keep listening in. I'm going to stream it on the app so that I can make sure I can keep up to date with what's going on. What's going on in the Cricket World Cup, too? Were we playing in that?
Well, England were playing last night, so you should be able to see what's going on there. They were playing. They had a good night.
Cable only, not free to air in England. Can you believe it?
Well, that's sort of happening around the world. Here with the Fox Sports activity here in Australia as well. So, but we digress because day one of the Royal Ascot Carnival kicked off last night. What did she wear? What colour did she wear, the Queen?
Well, once again, Half, I made the fundamental error. The 2-1 into 5-4 on favourite was the blue.
I would have gone the blue.
Pink was second favourite at $3, $3-1. Purple was at 5-1, lemon at 7-1, and I went all the way down to 1,000-1 the bandana. And the favourite got up, so I did my money cold.
Goodness,
I've got to learn. She doesn't do a bandana, does she?
Do they have to check betting records? If there's a plunge on the blue, someone's got the mail. What the Queen's doing?
Whitey, you make a really good point, because every time there's a plunge on something and then suddenly she emerges and there she is in the colour that's been packed into favouritism, I always go, hang on, what's going on here? You know what? I'm just going to go time and time again with the bandana, and one of these days I'm going to get it right.
She's going to surprise you one day and rock up with the bandana. That would be fantastic. Now, from an Australian perspective, in the King Stand last night, we had Hootson as our representative. Toby Edmonds is going to be joining Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse a little bit later on this morning, so we're very excited about that. But didn't it all go to plan, Richo, for Hootson?
Yeah, I spoke to Kieran McAvoy after the race, and Hootson slipped out of the gates. Put a couple of faulty strides in, and then he let her rip and she went forward. But considering her little mishap at the start, I mean, to be absolutely brutal and fair, she's probably not one of our absolute A++++ sprinters. She's been a fantastic sprinter, and when she won the Magic Millions 2-year-old, she was superb. She was unlucky in a Manicato, but the reality is she hadn't won a Group 1. We've had so many great sprinters in the last... couple of years retire a stud, so she had an opportunity here, but they went to Royal Ascot. It's been a great plan that I think, you know, we'll hear from Toby when he chats to Nugget Mickey Blue Eyes whether or not she stays here and serves by a Northern Hemisphere stallion. That may be the plan all along for Aquas Farm, but she wasn't up to it today. And then we had Blue Point versus Batash, exactly what we had this time last year, and Blue Point got over the top of him again. So you got a scenario with Sheikh Hamdan with Batash and Sheikh Mohammed with Blue Point. So Sherelle, they're brothers. So the two brothers are just going toe-to-toe with both of their horses there. So a win to Blue Point for Charlie Appleby and James Dorland. Maybe Blue Point might be the sort of horse that comes to Australia and has a crack at some of our sprinting millions that are up for grabs.
Very nice, Richo. And I've just been having a bit of a look at the weather too, a lot of umbrellas around. Mm. How is that affecting the conditions on the track and, of course, off the track with the fashions, which is probably more up my alley?
Yeah, well, the fashions have been, the raincoat was the number one fashion item throughout the day today, and the umbrella.
Yes.
But from a racing point of view, and this is going to be the big story leading into day two, will be Sea of Class, the Oaks winning filly, who was runner-up in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe behind the Mighty Enable, was to be running in the Prince of Wales' Stakes, the richest race that they have at the Royal Meeting, £750,000. So that's about 1.5 million Aussie pesos. Our dollar's struggling a touch over here, but don't touch on that. But so she could be coming out due to the fact that they've had so much rain that they believe it might be too shifty of a surface for her. And then also we start to think about the Ascot Gold Cup on Thursday and Stradivarius, the superstar stayer, who's still in line for another of these million-pound bonuses to win all the staying races here. Well, John Gosden, when we interviewed him, which I'm sure that interview is being replayed on RSN, saying that he really likes it nice and firm for his acceleration, his turn of foot, as the phrase that John used. The rain is going to continue again tomorrow, so we may have some big high-profile withdrawals. If Sea of Class comes out on the Prince of Wales Estates and maybe even Stradivarius out of the Ascot Gold Cup, that'd be a huge shock and a huge blow to everyone at the Royal Meeting.
So, Richo, for those that are listening to you now and are going to follow it over the next couple of days, who are some of the horses that we need to keep a look at that might be coming to Australia for the Melbourne Cup?
Value.
Yeah, it's interesting because in many ways the Royal Ascot's probably not the hunting ground for Melbourne Cup runner. It's sort of because it's so early in the European season. So what tends to happen is some of the superstars aim for all the English classics and the French and the Irish classics as well, and then all the big group ones. And it's sort of those horses that don't quite make it. You know, they become second and third, but then are showing staying promise. And you think, maybe that's the one that might come down to Australia. So I think it's really early to see. From an Australian interest point of view, the Gold Cup's going to have Crosscounter, the defending Leptis Melbourne Cup champion, up against Stradivarius, so that's going to be sensational to see. Magic Circle, who our Australian audience would be familiar with, owned by Marwin Kukash, who was going to strip down to just a thong if it won the Melbourne Cup. It's going to be running in the Ascot Gold Cup as well. And also Lloyd and Nick Williams have got Master of Reality, who he might be coming towards the Melbourne Cup. I think we saw another Melbourne Cup runner day one in the last race, Latrobe, who ran second in the McKinnon.
Yes.
A really close up fourth in the very last race today. If they went another couple of strides, he might have even, he should have clearly come second. He might have even challenged the winner. So he may be coming that way. That was in the Wolverton Stakes, which was only a listed race. It's a bit step down from an Irish Derby winner. But we interviewed Nick Williams after that, and he said, well, he'll run another couple of weeks, and then we'll decide what we're going to do with him. But he's starting to really look like he might be more of a two-miler, so I wouldn't be surprised if Latrobe's number one target for the spring might end up being the Melbourne Cup.
All right, that's good news for Tim Williams, who have a knack of racing well in the Melbourne Cup. Richo, they've got a knack for that. They're pretty good at preparing a plan and a program for their horses in the build-up to the big race in November, the Lexus Melbourne Cup, as you rightly say. What is your...
Right, don't they?
Yeah, no, they're pretty good.
They tend to get it right. I've totally stumped you with the bandana. You're rattled, aren't you?
We've actually got a text message in saying what odds was the eye patch Madonna style for the Queens.
And the pointed cones as well they've put in there. And the brassiere.
You like, go and ask the bookmaker tomorrow for exactly that. we want the market for the eye patch.
We want the market for the eye patch. I think it's a chance. I think it's a chance for that, too, just to really ramp things up. With bad weather, she's going to draw attention. Her Majesty there today at Royal Ascot. What's the program outside of the racing for you, Richo? You'll be entertaining the masses, I'm sure?
No, to be honest, I'm here on a family holiday, so I just popped up the races for a couple of days, and then I'll be tuning back into hanging with the fam. The fam bam on tour at the moment, so... A lot of fun being had with the family, as opposed to racing. So getting out to the to the Gold Cup and doing a lot of content for Flemington TV and racing.com, and RSN are taking a lot of the interviews, etc. We're doing. So had the lunch on Monday where the Melbourne Cup was entertained by the masses there at a terrific lunch, and we caught up with some of the real movers and shakers. It's hard to believe on the eve of Royal Ascot that people are talking about the Melbourne Cup, but that's the nature of an $8 million race, I suppose, especially the Europeans, and they can produce stars. So that's my plan, mate. It's going to be sensational, but really looking forward to the Ascot Gold Cup in particular.
Oh, a lot to look forward to still at Ascot as the carnival continues on. Always nice to chat to you. Say good day to Himaj for us, and go the eye patch. I reckon it's a winner for day two.
I can imagine the price. I'm onto it.
Go do it. The Aussies 4-1, by the way, Richard, too, as we say goodbye to you. 4-1, that game is over.